the NTSB issues 5 safety alerts, saving contract control towers from sequestration, and the UAV industry is set to create 70,000 new jobs. This is Aero News for Thursday, March 14, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB has issued 5 safety alerts that focus on the most frequent types of general aviation accidents. Each year, about 475 pilots and passengers are killed, and hundreds more are seriously injured in general aviation accidents here in the United States, which is why general aviation safety is on the NTSB's most wanted list. A safety alert is a brief information sheet that pinpoints a particular safety hazard and offers practical remedies to address the issue. The 5 safety alerts issued Tuesday are: Is your aircraft talking to you? Listen. Reduced visual references require vigilance. Avoid aerodynamic stalls at low altitude. Mechanics, manage risks to ensure safety. And pilots, manage risks to ensure safety. The NTSB is creating 5 short videos, one for each safety alert, which will be rolled out this spring. The videos will feature regional air safety investigators sharing their experiences and observances of the many accident investigations they've conducted, as well as advice on how pilots and mechanics can avoid mistakes that can have such tragic consequences. U.S. Senator Jerry Moran, Republican of Kansas, is poised to introduce an amendment to the Senate continuing resolution that will stop the FAA's planned funding cuts to air traffic control towers. The FAA contract tower program serves airports that otherwise would not have air traffic control services. Senator Moran said in a news release that, quote, irresponsible cuts, end quote, from sequestration will put the flying public at risk, impair access to rural areas, jeopardize national and civil security missions, and cost jobs. Senator Moran's amendment comes on the heels of a Kansas congressional delegation letter to U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Michael Huerta opposing the planned funding cuts. A report published last summer by the Inspector General for the DOT found that the contract tower program was one of the most efficiently run programs in the FAA. The report also showed the specified towers in the FAA contract tower program were all operational in 2009, when the FAA received less funding than they will under the sequestration. Senator Moran's amendment would withdraw $50 million in unobligated FAA research and capital funds from prior appropriations bills. The $50 million is based on Administrator Huerta's statement when testifying to the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, when he stated that the FAA's plan to close 173 contract towers on April the 7th will save up to $50 million. Senator Moran's amendment is supported by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association and aviation industry groups. A new study released Tuesday by the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International finds that the unmanned aircraft industry is poised to create more than 70,000 new American jobs in the first 3 years following the integration of unmanned aircraft systems into the U.S. National Airspace System. Integration is scheduled to take place in 2015. Beyond the first 3 years, the study projects that more than 100,000 new jobs will be created by 2025. Specifically, the study finds, in the first 3 years following integration, the total economic impact stemming from the integration is projected to surpass $13.6 billion. The study projects integration will lead to 103,776 new jobs nationally by 2025. Future events, such as the establishment of FAA test sites, will ultimately determine where many of those new jobs will flow. Additional economic benefit will be seen through tax revenue to the states, which will total more than $482 million in the first decade following the integration. And finally, every year that integration is delayed, the United States loses more than $10 billion in potential economic impact. That translates to a loss of $27.6 million per day that unmanned aerial systems are not integrated into the national air system. In a first for EASA, the European Aviation Safety Agency has handed over a type certificate for the Airbus A400M to Airbus Military. This type certificate supersedes a restricted type certificate that was issued by EASA in April of 2012 for the same type. It follows the satisfactory completion of a functioning and reliability flight testing campaign of more than 300 hours, demonstrating the aircraft's compliance with civil airworthiness and environmental requirements. Handing over EASA Type Certificate to Airbus Military, Dr. Norbert Lowell, EASA Certification Director, said, quote, "The A400M is the first turboprop airlifter in its category to receive EASA certification. I am very proud of this great achievement, which is thanks to the dedication and teamwork of the EASA and Airbus military teams," end quote. This A400M civil aircraft configuration and EASA certification will be the baseline for a subsequent recommendation for the military version of the A400M. When AeroNews continues, an aeronautical treasure trove unveiled in Florida, North America's number one airport, and things that go bump in space.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, March 14th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Florida's Treasure Coast has long been where fortune hunters went to seek untold riches. Well, now, for the sky pirate in all of us, Florida's Fantasy of Flight has just opened Phase 2 of its Golden Hill project, revealing a 20,000-square-foot treasure trove of rare and vintage aircraft, aircraft parts, and flight artifacts. The Golden Hill Project is aptly named as a nod to Silver Hill, the nickname for the Paul E. Garber Preservation, Restoration, and Storage Facility of the Smithsonian Institution's National Air and Space Museum in Sweetland, Maryland. Phase 1 of Golden Hill opened in the summer of 2012 with such a tremendous guest response that Fantasy of Flight decided to open up its entire storage facility in January of this year. Among the residents of Golden Hill Phase 2 are awesome amphibians, including a PBY Catalina and a Grumman Duck, carrier-based conquerors, the Fairy Swordfish and the Grumman Hellcat, the world's earliest jets, the Gloster Meteor and a de Havilland Vampire, and war changers, the Mitsubishi Zero and the Lockheed P-38 Lightning. And there's more. This restricted area is accessible only by escort. Guests are loaded aboard a vintage open-air or Lampa Express trolley, where they can enjoy views of the attraction, the planes on display on the tarmac, and daily flights of vintage aircraft, and finally, Golden Hill. The new exhibit is included in the admission price to Fantasy of Flight. The Indianapolis International Airport, KIND, has been recognized as 2012's best airport in North America by the Airsports Council International as part of the prestigious annual Airport Service Quality Awards for Performance of Excellence. KIND was also named Best Airport in North America for 2010, and it has been ranked in the top three airports in North America since that time. The annual awards program identifies the most passenger-friendly airports throughout the world. Results are derived from ASQ's year-round passenger satisfaction surveys conducted in gate areas. As for the rest of the world, ACI's top airports are in Africa, Cape Town; in the Asia-Pacific region, Seoul Incheon; in Europe, Moscow's Sheremetyevo; in Latin America, the Caribbean's, it's Cancun; and in the Middle East, Abu Dhabi. Since its creation in 2006, the ASQ Awards have become the world's leading airport passenger satisfaction benchmark, with over 275 airports participating. From satellite to space junk in the blink of an eye, a Russian satellite has been rendered useless by a piece of space debris. In 2007, the Chinese government destroyed its Fengyun 1C weather satellite in a missile test. Now, CNN reports that the Russian Blitz satellite, described as a small glass sphere that reflected lasers back to Earth for research purposes, was knocked off its axis by a collision with a piece of the Chinese debris and now faces the wrong way, rendering it useless. The collision is thought to have taken place around January 22nd. Researchers from the Center for Space Standards and Innovation told CNN that the only objects cataloged by the U.S. Strategic Command near the Blitz satellite was the debris from the Chinese satellite. It was originally thought that there was sufficient separation between the objects to rule out a collision, but, well, maybe not. CSSI's T.S. Kelso, in a blog posting, writes that it seemed a piece of the Fenyung 1C satellite was the likely culprit. The Chinese satellite had been launched into a polar orbit in 1999. It was destroyed while that government was testing a ground-launched medium-range ballistic missile, creating what the U.S. officials said were hundreds of pieces of debris. That test, by the way, was protested by the United States, Canada, Australia, and other allies. Well, fortunately for the Russians, Sputnik never faced such dangers. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.